Thanks, Josh. I don't actually need to share any more tonight because, Josh, you actually just preached my entire message. But that's all right. We'll get through it. Maybe we'll add a few more things. All right. Obviously, the Holy Spirit wants someone here to hear this message tonight. He's going to repeat it twice. All right. Who had a good week? I had a good week. I had school. I had university. I had three assignments due this week. Anybody from university here? No, you can feel my pain. Three assignments in 1 week, two of which were group assignments. You know those ones where you have to work with other people, those painful ones. So anyway, had a few assignments. We head off to KCC on Friday. Last Friday just gone. We took a whole bunch of youth. Youth started back after the mid semester holiday there. We took 20 young kids over to KCC. We got Tristan here. We got Sammy. Good to see you guys tonight. And it was amazing to see. There was about 100 young kids there just worshiping God, like hands raised, just surrendering to God. It's just an amazing thing. We actually had out of the 20 kids that we took there with us, we had three of them make a decision to follow Jesus for the rest of their life. How good is that? How about we just give God some praise for that? Yeah. So there's no greater joy than seeing that, than seeing these young kids just come and just worship God. So anyway, our theme for this month or this couple of weeks is worship. So who was here last Sunday night? A few people here last Sunday night. We remember that Josh shared about worship and what it is, and I guess we learned that worship's not just about singing. Worship's not just what we do in the first 20 minutes, you know, of the church service. It's not just reading the Bible. It's not just praying. All those things are worship, but it's so much more than that. It's worship is everything that we do, right? Everything we do, we do it to the glory of God, or we should do it to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, do all to the glory of God. So tonight we're going to have a look at worship. More specifically, we're going to actually have a look and talk about the power of worship, as Josh was saying, and he's pretty much shared my message. So my message title tonight is When the Odds Are Against You. So just to give you a bit of background, for those of you who like dictionary meanings, worship in the dictionary is defined as an act of adoration. And last week, Josh shared John 4:23. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So whatever has your adoration, whatever has your attention, and whatever has your ambition has your worship. And I guess we can look back at history and see some of the things that people have worshipped. Right back, we can go back to the Old Testament, to Exodus 32. Some of you may know the story. So we got the Israelites. They're in Egypt. They've been slaves there for years and years and years. And God comes along, and he performs all these wonderful, miraculous things. There's signs and wonders, and he takes the Israelites out of slavery into freedom. And not long after that, they decide that they were going to gather up their jewelry and their gold, and they melt it down and make this golden calf, and they begin to worship it. They begin to make sacrifices to it. And, you know, we think, what a silly thing to do, right? What a silly thing to do. After all that God did, they go and make a golden calf and start worshiping it. But, you know, these days we're not really much better. We worship everything from sports teams to rock stars to celebrities. We worship our jobs. We worship money. We worship relationships. We even worship ourselves. And the truth is that no matter how much you worship these things, they will never, ever satisfy you. You'll never, ever be fully satisfied worshiping these things because the truth is that God designed you to worship Him. You were designed to worship the Creator, not the created. So tonight we're gonna go through this the story in 2 Chronicles. But before we do, I've got a little bit of a video just to give you just to sort of set the scene. And if we can have that one played now, that'd be great. Thanks. Right, who's ever had one of those days, you know, those days where just everything goes wrong? Just me and Josh, apparently. No one else has had those days. Well, all right. So, you know those days where everything goes wrong and you're just like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? And, you just can't see the light at the end of the tunnel that you're going through. Well, so tonight we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Hopefully this story here will give us a little bit of a guide to how we deal with times like this when everything seems to be going wrong and we're faced with these sort of overwhelming challenges. So this particular story starts out with King Jehoshaphat. Everyone say Jehoshaphat. It's a great name. Anyone here tonight called Jehoshaphat? Any expecting mothers looking for baby names? Jehoshaphat? No? Okay. So the Bible tells us throughout the books of Kings and Chronicles that Jehoshaphat succeeded his father to reign over the tribe of Judah at a time when Israel was divided and ungodly. And the rest of Israel was being led by a man named King Ahab. And he was one of the wickedest kings that they ever had. And so King Jehoshaphat, who was 35 when he began, when he took over as king, started by removing idol worship. So he got rid of a few things, trying to restore Judah as a God-fearing tribe. And during his reign, the tribe of Judah began to enjoy a season of peace and safety. And so this angered the surrounding nations, and so they joined together. There was a couple of nations around, and they joined together to form an alliance with the purpose that they would destroy King Jehoshaphat and his nation. And so we read in the first couple of verses there, and King Jehoshaphat was informed that an overwhelmingly vast army was approaching, seeking to overpower and destroy them. And the king and the nation felt overwhelmed in the face of this hopeless situation. And there's so many examples throughout the Bible where people are faced with these kind of life-threatening trials. And Jesus actually tells us in John 16:33, he says, "Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows." Who's excited about that? The verse goes on, luckily. It says, "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." How good is that? So the first thing you need to understand is that every one of us at some point are going to face difficulties and going to face challenges in our life. It's not a question of if, but a question of when. At some point, everyone is going to be confronted with struggles and pain and grief, temptation, sin, and persecution. And some of these may just be a minor inconvenience, but other challenges may seem like, this is it, this is the end for me. Matthew 5:45 says, "God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust." See, trouble comes to both Christians and non-Christians. It doesn't discriminate. The young and the old, all of us will experience it at some point or another. And so the problem that you face will either defeat you or develop you. And it all depends on how you respond to that situation. So verse 3 of our story begins, and it says, "Jehoshaphat was terrified." I'm assuming that's a pretty normal thing to think when a massive army is coming after you. Jehoshaphat was terrified. And just like Jehoshaphat, the natural response when we're facing danger is fear. Fear is a natural and reasonable response to potential harm. It's an emotion that motivates us to ensure that we're safe. It's the fight or flight mode. However, verse 3 continues and it says, "Then Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So King Jehoshaphat prepared himself and prepared his nation to fight by surrendering everything to God." So I wonder, what is our natural response? What's our go-to thing when we're faced with challenges in our life? Do we surrender our problems to God? Do we stop and worship in the middle of the storm? Many times we try and do things in our own strength, right? When we're faced with challenges, we can either fight or we can flight or we can freeze. We may choose to pretend that a problem simply doesn't exist. You know, we can put our head down and just be like, it's not there. That's one option. But we know that doesn't actually get rid of the problem. It doesn't solve the problem. What we could also do is downplay or minimize a problem. You may have heard people say things like, it's not that bad, or the typical Aussie thing, she'll be right, mate. But these things don't solve the problem. What we should be doing instead, just like Jehoshaphat, when faced with an overwhelming problem, is to focus on God. Put our trust in him. Just like King Jehoshaphat and the tribe of Judah did, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Humble ourselves humble ourselves, casting all your cares on him because he cares for us. How good is that? When we are feeling overwhelmed by the enemy, who by the way, has only one purpose, and that's to steal, kill, and destroy us, that's the time when we need to focus on God. So our story continues. Verse 3 to 13 paints this picture of the power of worship. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat is praying out loud, and he says, "We have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do." This is him humbling himself. "We have no power, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And the whole nation came together in one place, and they began to fast and pray and to seek God in the middle of this approaching war. So when trouble comes, we need to put everything aside, all these things that distract us, and we need to worship. We need to seek God and worship him. There's no better place to be than in the presence of God when trouble comes. Unfortunately, it's true that we often try to do everything ourselves. We try every other effort before we turn to God. We exhaust all other options, and then we turn to God. Instead, we should be humbling ourselves first and turn to God first. We should learn to surrender all so we may fully enter into his presence and find everything that we need to survive the storm. Our story continues in verse 14. The Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the congregation, and he prophesied. And in verse 15 it says, "Listen, all you people of Judah. King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." We can see the power of worship right here in the middle of the storm, as they worshipped and as they surrendered and as they humbled themselves. This is how we allow God to fight our battles. Verse 17 continues, "But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions and stand still and watch the Lord's victory, because he is with you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." I think somebody here needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. Tomorrow, when you go out into your workplace, into your schools, your universities, you need to know that the Lord is with you. He will fight your battles for you. So King Jehoshaphat bowed low and his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, and they worshipped God. So when everything seems to be falling in around you and the walls are closing in, when nothing in our world seems to have any glimmer of hope, what do we need to do? We need to worship. That's the time for us to worship. Psalm 34:4 says, "Magnify the Lord." And you know, this isn't God getting bigger. This means our vision of him, of who he is in our life, gets bigger. The more that we focus on God, the bigger he gets in our life, the smaller these problems seem. Magnify the Lord. Verse 20 of our story continues. It says, "Early the next morning, the army of Judah," so this is King Jehoshaphat, they head out. It says, they head out into the wilderness. They're about to go to battle. It says, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets and you will succeed." We can see this example here of the power of worship. They choose to trust in God, making a declaration of faith. Say, "Believe in the Lord your God and you will be able to stand firm." continuing on, verse 21, after consulting the people, the king, King Jehoshaphat, appoints singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sang. I'm not going to sing it because that wouldn't be a good idea. It says, they sang, "Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever." And at that very moment that they began to sing and praise and worship God, the Bible tells us that God set an ambush. And all the enemies, these three other nations' armies immediately began to kill each other. One by one, they all kill each other. And so when the army of Judah and King Jehoshaphat arrived at this lookout point over the battle, they got there and all they saw was dead bodies lying on the ground. It's a rather graphic image. Dead bodies as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men, they went out and to collect the spoils of war. And it says they found vast amounts of clothing, equipment, and other valuables, more than they could even carry. There was so much that the Bible says it actually took them 3 days to go and collect everything from this massive army. On the fourth day, they gathered in the valley, which is now called the Valley of Blessing, and they praised and thanked God. When all the surrounding kingdoms had heard about God fighting their battles, they all feared God. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So this is how we fight our battles. We have that song, you know, this is how we fight our battles. This is worship. This is what we're doing. And so tonight we're going to spend a bit of time worshiping tonight. And if I could just have the band come back up. There is power in worship. Amen. Who believes that? There is power in worship. When we choose to trust in God, surrendering everything to him, we allow the power of worship to work. We put our focus on him instead of our problems. When we magnify him, we take our focus off the problems and God gets bigger and they get smaller. Suddenly those things that were stressing you out don't seem so stressful anymore. The truth is that it's actually very difficult to worry and worship at the same time. The more we worship, the less we worry. And the bigger, that the more we worship God, the bigger he becomes in our life. So what I'd like to do tonight, if we could all just stand, we're gonna just spend some time worshiping tonight. And tonight, if we sing this song about breakthrough. And tonight, if you're believing for breakthrough in your life, you're believing for the chains that the enemy has on you to break. If maybe it seems like the enemy surrounding you, no matter how big or no matter how small the problem is that you are facing tonight, we're going to worship God and we're going to put our focus on him tonight because he is able. He is able. The Bible tells us he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever ask or even think. Think about that for a minute. Your imagination is far too limited for the power of God. He can do more than you can even think. Tonight, we're going to open up the front. We're going to open up the altar tonight. And if you're believing for breakthrough in your life, and I know there are people here tonight who are believing for breakthrough in their life, we're going to ask that you just come out the front. We're going to worship God in a minute. And I know that it's uncomfortable. I know that coming out the front is a big step. But tonight, if you want to make that decision where you say, I want that breakthrough. I want that breakthrough in my life. Nothing's going to hold me back. God wants you to have that breakthrough. I believe tonight that there are people here facing sickness, facing disease, facing financial troubles, facing relationship problems. Tonight, tonight, let's just bring that to God. Together. Together we're going to worship Him. We're going to worship Him tonight. We're going to surrender, just like King Jehoshaphat decided. Instead of focusing on these problems, these challenges in my life, we're going to focus on God. Come on, who's excited tonight? Who's ready for breakthrough in this place tonight? Come on, let's worship Him tonight.